coming to share.
Thank you.
And it's been a privilege to get to know you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to thank you so much, Larry and John, Eleanor, and the family. Thank you so much for inviting me to be with you here in this conference. It's the first time ever I've been in a conference like this. I've been a lot of conferences. I learn a lot. I see you serious with your Bible. I never been in a conference when somebody, when you do a so the speaker kind of share a reference or something like that, everybody's opening their Bible. So I never seen this for a long time. So this has been an encouraging time. I have a confession and a permission and a debate. I've been booked almost over a year to come here, and it happened actually just recently. One of our young people who are grew up in our church actually got married today. This is why my wife and kids are in a wedding. So this is the confession, the permission I'm debating now. I'm thinking of running after my speak to go to the wedding to last part of the reception. I don't know the committee, and you will allow me to do that, or? Thank you so much. You've been very gracious. I didn't mention this. It's just it came to my mind. I should go to the wedding, the reception, and at least to show up there, and my family's there. We talked about the insider movement, and the Muslim idiom translation. It's how Islam, for those of you who have not been here for the first session, what Islam in the West and how the Islam affected our churches, our ministry, and how Islam started with that and they continue to do this. And how is the damitude, the control of Islam, is entered to our churches. And so to continue here, support insider movement by replacing Christian term in contemporary in a Bible translation with Islamic one. I don't know if you have heard about the Bible that was translated about 2 years, I think 3 years ago, how many of you? By Wycliffe. A few people. There is a group of people from the insider movement. They translate a Bible for the Muslim world. It cost close to $8 million. And what they did with that Bible, they took out the word God the Father. They took out the word that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man. And they took every Christian terms and the Trinity, every Christian term that offended the Muslim. So it can be used and accepted by the Muslim. And we rejected actually that book. The book, when we start kind of investigating, the book has been written by Mishar al-Muluhi. He is a well-known writer in Middle East. In fact, he is the one who write most of the king and the president's speech in most of the Arabic countries. And he is coming from a Muslim Sufi background. And he's from Syria, and he decided that he's going to write to help the Christian Syrian and the Christian in Middle East to write a Bible that will help the Christian not to be persecuted and for the Muslim to accept the Christian. And he wrote that Bible, and he put a lot of reference from the Quran in that Bible. And one of the writers, some of you will know, John Nance. Is it John Nance? Something Nance. I believe John Nance. No, it's not John Nance. It's something Nance. Anyway, and he endorsed that Bible. And Wycliffe, United States, Canada has nothing to do with it, because I met with the president and I met with some of the people. They said, we have nothing to do with that book. And they print it. And so it can be used by the Muslim. So this is one of the things that the insider movement did, is compromising our Christian belief and how we look at God and Jesus Christ. And so this is one of the things that they do it. And it was very dangerous. In fact, it jeopardized, I don't know if you heard, in Malaysia, number of church was closed and many Christians were slaughtered. If you go back and get some news from the Voice of the Martyr and the persecuted church. And the government of Malaysia will not allow any Bible to enter to their country except that Bible. And the believers were crying, why did you do that to us? The other things, how many of you heard about common word letter between you and us? One person, two. So what this letter? About in 2007, 138 Muslim clerks sent an open letter to the Pope and the other Christian leader, challenging them from the Quran to say there is only one God and he has no partner. That letter was sent, and it was sent to a lot of organizations. It was sent to the Vatican, it sent to a lot of Christian leaders to sign that letter. If I take you back to the three confusing doctrines that I shared with you in the afternoon, I just want to see if anybody was awake. Which one of these doctrines actually fit with that letter? God has no son. The Hudaybiyah one, when they conquered Mecca. You remember what I said, how they got off, Mecca, and how they conquered Mecca? When they went there, it was the Hudaybiyah. It's okay, your God and our God is one, and all these kind of things. So they did the same things. And no partner, because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or he is God himself. So the Muslims, they think that we worship three gods. We worship God the Father, we worship God the Son, and you know what is the third God? God the Mother, which is Mary. In fact, one of the verses in the Quran that Jesus is going to be questioned by God. Have you ever instructed your people to worship you and your mother apart from me? And in the Quran, Jesus said, no, I never did that. And he's going to disown all the Christians. So when they write this letter and there is only one God and he has no partner, that there is no Jesus. So they sent this letter all over the world. And this was the result of it. And also they give the people to follow Muhammad and to accept Islam. So the result of it was, this was the response. Yale Divinity School respond to that document and thanks them and praise Islam and ask for forgiveness for the Christian sin against Islam. If I ask you, do you know what the sin that they ask for forgiveness for? Huh? Not the crusade. For calling Jesus God. The other response. The document was signed by 300 Christian leaders, including Bill Hybel, Rick Warren, and Williams, and some of them whom that... it's signed by these people. In fact, I had the privilege at the Alliance International Fellowship Conference in New York. Actually, I spoke about this very issue, and I was surprised. I shared a platform with Rick Warren. And we had an opportunity to talk in the speaker room. And he said, I never heard this before. What the meaning of this letter? And I asked him kindly enough, will you remove your name? George Verwer of Operation Mobilization signed that letter. And then he removed his name. Most of these who signed that letter are from the evangelical church. I asked some of them, why did you write that? Why did you sign that letter? He said, we want just to be close to the Muslim and will open an opportunity for us to witness to them. I told them, you are already signed that letter approving Islam and the religion, and you approved everything. What else you want to share with them? It's over. Surprise. The Pope and the Eastern Orthodox Church wisely do not sign. Because they know the Islamic history. And the Orthodox Church was suffering from Islam. The Orthodox Church was under the demitude of Islam. And they said, we're not going to do it. The Pope himself, he said, I'm not going to do it too. In fact, he was in a great trouble for not signing and calling the Muslim terrorist. If you remember when, Benedictine or... That's the one. Yeah. So he refused to sign and he called them terrorists. And he got in trouble with that and he baptized a man from Libya. So that was the response. Number one, they changed the Bible. Number two, they agree with the Muslim invitation from the Bible. They have used the child sacrifice. When the king, in 2 King 3:26, when he offered his kids to sacrifice his son. So the Muslim, they said, look, you guys in your Bible also, you sacrifice your kids. So the suicide bomber is okay for us to change, to send our kids to die for themselves. The message of Islam is not in the Bible, but... The message of Islam is in the Bible by Dr. Gord Nichols about the Antichrist, which is in Daniel, according to him, Daniel 8:23. He thinks that Islam come to destroy it. Exactly Christianity. Is the enemy of Christianity. Everything in Christianity, Islam deny it. Whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. There is nothing there in Islam to accept any kind of belief that you have. Other people, they need us to pray. We pray for the Middle Eastern church, which is under the demitude of Islam. For the persecuted church in Middle East. That was Dr. David Demian said in Vancouver. Others are saying, some of them you will agree with them or disagree with them, is to what is the they're saying about what we're doing and we need us to pray is Faisal Malik. He said that the spirit of Esau hopes And it's kind of the try to get the identity and to stop the destiny of Ishmael. One of the things we're praying for that to bring Ishmael back home to his father. And Ishmael is the Muslims. We need to bring them to Christ. But we don't need to accept what they believe. The spirit of terrorism is seek to paralyze the church with the fear of reaching out to Muslims. Terrorism and Islam want to put fear in our heart that we cannot reach out to Muslims. And the churches actually, they're accepting that, some of the churches, they're afraid to reach out to Muslims. We need you to pray. The only one are doing it now is the Muslim convert. And they're already in danger. Seven strategy for terrorism. Number one is to stop the destiny of the Muslim people. The terrorism is making fear in all over the world. The other thing is to make the word deaf to the cry of Ishmael. I went to Afghanistan with one of the group. And the people of Afghanistan, they said this: if the government and Taliban, they will give us a freedom, Afghanistan today will be a Christian nation. When the war happened between Iraq and Kuwait, many of the Bible actually went inside Kuwait and went inside Middle East by the U.S. soldiers. And people, they accepted, you know, and they were crying for it. So the terrorism has put that fear. The other thing is also to share the love of Christ. Many people, they talk to me. In fact, I'm going to mention it. One of the Bible college actually refused me to enter to the Bible college because they're afraid if they invited me there, the Muslim will come and bomb the college. The other thing is to steal the natural and the financial resource that we have stored up to fund the gospel in the end time. The other thing is the Daniel and the Virgin and the Greece. And what we have here, what we have here, all this prophecy about Islam. What the prophecy about Islam is serious. Islam is going to take power. Try to neutralize everything. And we need to be careful. But the good news, Islam is destroying itself by itself. Let me take you in 1988, Salman Rushdie. Out of that, the book Satanic Verses, many of Muslims, actually they recap, and especially in Iran. September 11, many Muslims, they said, this is not Islam. A year after that, there's another fatwa or saying happening in Egypt. And Egypt is called the highest Islamic university in the world. It's called Al-Azhar University. One of the clerk came out and he said something about a doctrines. It's very disgusting. Allow me to share it. But ladies, please forgive me before the men and the whole assembly. Please forgive me for what I'm going to be saying. It's very disgusting. In the time of war, when Muhammad will take his troop to fight other people, they leave some people in the camp to protect the ladies or the women there. For the men and Muhammad, to make sure that these men are not going to do anything to this woman, different women and different wives and all these things, they have to do a practice. The practice, and again, forgive me, all the men staying behind, they have to be breastfeeding all these men so they will be considered their mothers. And this came right after that. So the fatwa said, one of the highest people in hadith, he said, now women are in the working force and they're working with men. One of the rituals need to be doing that all men will practice that in the offices so there will not be any affairs in the offices. And this has to be practiced in all Islamic countries. Any woman is in force, they have to do that practice. And many of them, they left Islam. This is why I said Islam is weakening in Middle East and in the Islamic world. But it's getting their strength here. Can we stop them? No, we can't. The only things we can do, and I was talking to some of the people in the back, is our job to give this awareness wherever we go. And the church has to be aware of it. The other things we need to stick to this book. And to apply it in our churches, in our life. Otherwise, Islam will take over our churches. There is hope for Muslims. But the only cry is the church. This is our cry and obstacle. Will the church help? Will the church stand up? Will the church willing to... I was talking to people over supper, and two times I was nailed for this. Will the church willing to stand for Christ and die for Christ and willing to face persecutions? I said it at Mission Fest Edmonton, and a lot of people, they came against me. I said that at Moody Bible College in Chicago. The students, they stood up and they said, yes, we're ready to stand for Christ. We're ready to die for Christ. We're ready to do whatever it costs us to keep the name of Jesus above all name. After I spoke, they took me to the faculty room, and I was hammered by the teachers. Why did I say that to the student? Are you willing to stand for Christ? Let me close with this story, and then I'll answer the questions. Just to give you the attitude of the Muslim convert. Number of years ago, I was doing ministry in Holland among the refugees. 23 of them, they received Christ as a personal savior. We trained them, we discipled them, and they wanted to be baptized. They asked me if I will come and baptize them. I told them I will be honored. They chose Easter to be the day of their baptism. We baptized them in Easter. After that, a few days, I stayed back in Holland. I went to different refugees to see these people we baptized so they can start to share the gospel with other people. One camp have two Iraqi ladies, Hanadi and Fatin. The camp was closed, and there was some trouble inside the camp, so I went around the fence. I called one of the refugees to go to cabin number so-and-so and to call these girls. They came. When they came, I couldn't recognize them. Their uncle found out they became a Christian, and they were baptized. He took both of them, hold them from the hair, and smashed their face repeatedly in a concrete ground. He destroyed all their features. This is why I couldn't recognize them. When I see that and they told me, tears start to come out of my eyes. They looked at me and they said, Pastor Wajdi, please don't do that. We were baptized in the same day that we remembered the resurrection of Christ. And now we're just beaten like him. We are a true Christians. We are a true Christian. What are you afraid of? What is holding you to stand for Christ and Christ alone? Hope. And as I said, the other session, the highest number of conversion is among women. Among the Muslim women, it's the conversion is the woman that the highest number. There is only three women for sure, according to Muhammad, that they're going to be there. His first wife, Khadija, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the wife of Pharaoh. You know why? Because three of them, they're going to be his wives in paradise. He chose them to be his wife. From other women, that the only way she can get there, that her husband would recommend her. So if she was a wonderful woman, a nice one, and he want her, he would request her so she can be one of the 72. And she will go be young again and beautiful again. And she will be again a virgin, and so she will be part of the 72. The other thing, she have to be a fit mother. She have to wear the hijab since she was a little girl, and also her husband has to be pleased with her. So if he beat her up and all whatever he did to her, she will accept it. She will be up there. But above all this, nobody knows if it's going to be there or not. Yes, and we see that in the Old Testament many times that dreams work in a different area that God would try to communicate with his people. One of the dreams, actually, most of the Muslims, they see Jesus in dream and vision, is kind of the confirmation. I will give you an example. I was in one of the Scandinavian countries, and I have this refugee. I was in one of the refugee camps, and one of the people was talking to me at the end of the day, and we were talking about Christ being the light of the world. We were sitting there for hours, and I didn't know really what did I say about that. And my right came, and then I went, and the next morning I went back to the refugee camps, and he was waiting for there. I thought that he'd stay all night outside there. And I told him, what's happening? I said, well, I want to be the first one to see you. You talk about Christ being the light of the world. Yesterday, I have this dream about this beautiful light. So I want to make sure that he's in the right direction. I told him, oh, this is the light of the Quran. He said, no. Oh, this is the light of Allah. He said, no, this is the light of Muhammad. He said, no, I think this is the light you talked about. And after that, I invited him to receive Christ as his personal savior. And he did.